from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, good morning to you, everybody. It's Sports Daily here on KFH. I'm Tommy Kester. Jacob Albrecht will be joining us momentarily. Jad Chambers producing the program. The IHOP hotline is open for you at 869-1240. Right now at IHOP, you can try the 2x2x2. That's 2 eggs your way, 2 bacon strips or 2 pork sausage links, and 2 buttermilk pancakes for only $7. That IHOP hotline is open all morning long. Again, 869-1240. Would love to have you join the program this morning, and so looking forward to all of that here as we get into the program. Like I mentioned, Jacob Albrecht joining us momentarily. He's here now. Good morning, Jacob.
Hey, Tommy. Good morning. How are you?
We're good.
Ready to rock and roll. An NBA Finals that we guessed it, man. We thought that might be fool's gold there in Game 4. It certainly was. Nice Tuesday to you. Hope everybody's recovered. Feel a little more juice this morning.
Good. Tommy,
a little more juice than I had yesterday. Like, are we of that age where being out in the sun for a few days just totally destroys us? I mean, is that what's happening here? Because I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with that. But here we are. We're ready to roll. And hey, look, it was perfect timing. The Royals had a day off, right? Like we're ready to roll here into a stretch of games where, quite frankly, the Royals ought to be able to kick a little tail. Oh, by the way, another thing today. Have you seen what KU football has been doing on the recruiting trail? Like, what world are we living in, Tommy, that we've seen K-State basketball hand out reportedly the largest NIL contract ever for basketball, and KU football is exploding and making all the headlines in that world? Like, are we flip-flopped? What's happening right now? But we can get into that as well a little bit throughout the show. I appreciate everybody tuning in here, of course, by listening to us, by watching us on the feed there, which you can find easily. Just search KFH Radio on YouTube, on X, on Facebook. Did you catch any? Did you fall for it at all last night with Game 5 in the NBA Finals?
I did not. I mean, there were brief moments that I would check in and then, you know, just saw the deficit continue to grow and grow and grow for Dallas. And know, I just thought, all right, this is Boston series. It really always has been. You know, and I think that really more than anything else, this is about Boston staking its claim as one of the best teams that we've seen in recent memory in the NBA. I really believe that. I believe that they don't get the credit. They don't get the accolades. I know they're NBA champions, but I don't think people think of them really as one of the best teams that we've seen, what, maybe in the last 20 years in the NBA, a complete team like that. I mean, think of the star power that they have on that team. You've got future Hall of Famers on that team. You've got perennial All-Stars on that team. I think it's time to give them the due that they're deserved.
It is. It is. And you can do that on the IHOP hotline brought to you by IHOP. 2x2x2 offer. 2 eggs your way. 2 bacon strips. 2 pork sausage links. 2 buttermilk pancakes. Only $7. That's bacon or pork. So 869-1240 if you want to chime in. I think they are, Tommy. And I think what snuck up on a lot of us, honestly, is the trades that they made. It's really when they added Drew Holiday and when they added Kristaps Porzingis, they were already really good. But as you watched that finals, for most, like, it became really clear really fast just how good they are top to bottom, how deep they are, how dynamic they were defensively. Of course, they have their two big stars. But it was a really good mix of players for a brilliant young coach to put it together. And I don't – look, the way they ran through it, And a lot of people point to maybe it was one of the easier runs through. You know, the Pacers got through, the Mavs got through. I don't think anybody expected those teams to do it. I don't know that that's necessarily fair. I think you could put this team up against, you know, like this team versus the Durant, Clay, Steph, Celtics. How would they fare? I think they'd have a shot. After, you know, post-trade deadline, I think they'd have a shot. I think that'd be a good series. So I think it's a little of both. I do think they were advantageous on some matchups, and I also think they're really, really, really stinking good. And what does that mean for the future? I don't know. I don't know what their offseason looks like. I don't know if they can run it back. I don't know if they bring everybody back. I have no idea. I don't pay that much attention to the dealings, the transactional portion of the NBA. But I know that was a pretty impressive team. It was a little disappointing because it didn't give us a very interesting finals. I think it's more interesting to think about what happens with the Mavs in the future than it is with the Celtics in the future. Let's go to that IHOP hotline. Anthony on the line wants to chime in. Anthony, what you think?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is I'm going to state the obvious. With Dallas, they were very predictable. You knew one or two things was going to happen. One, either Kyrie Irving was bringing the ball up court, he was going to play ISO ball, or Luke was going to be bringing the ball up court, and he was either going to drive to the basket or do a dish out. I mean, there wasn't no really, to me, it looked like, compared to Boston, the only game plan that Dallas had was ball in Kyrie Irving's hand, let him do what he do, ball in Luka Doncic's hand, let him do what he does. So they became very predictable. There was no adjustment, which is why I didn't think they had a fighter's chance once the league grew to double digits and kept growing. They didn't have no way to come back because their offense was stagnant. Whereas when you look at Boston, there was a flow. If one of their star players didn't have a shot, he had different angles to find the open man. In other words, Dallas playing against Boston would be like playing against a team like, say, Denver with multiple jokers on the team, because if you tried to key in on one, he'd find an open man. If you set him off from the open man, he'd find a way to kill you going to the basket. So that's what this analysis was for me watching this series unfold the way it did. Dallas had no defense to stop Boston, because how can you game plan? Like you say, you got Jason Tatum, you got Jaylen Brown, but you also got Drew Holiday. And he was like the key pickup when they picked him up, because he'd already won a championship. He knew what it was like. So he was like, basically, the point guard, the straw that stirred the coffee. So that's my whole take on the Dallas-Boston series. Boston was the more complete team than what Dallas was. So you guys have a great day. I'm going to listen to your comments.
Thanks, Anthony. Yeah, look, Boston was better. I mean, there's no question about that. Derek White was incredible defensively. White and Holiday, I don't remember a better defensive guard duo off the top of my head than what those guys were doing in that series. It was as big a reason they were successful as any other thing that happened. That's what I mean. Like, if that team runs back, and again, I don't know if they can, they're going to be hard to beat in the current, you know, in the current makeup of what's out there. Now, I think, you know, you could look at Oklahoma City and assume that most of those players are going to get a little better. And maybe they can do a little surgery in the offseason and bring in a couple vets like that, a couple of specialists to, you know, to make them better. Denver could certainly get back there. You know, Milwaukee, I mean, I guess when you start with the two that they've got, maybe you could get back there. But they're the ones who traded away Jrue Holiday. So I don't know. I just know that Boston was clearly the better team in this series and the best team in these in these playoffs, not even close. Like, it's like they were so much better. I don't even think, you know, before the series started, I was actually after game one when it was a blowout, I was like, man, I wonder if Luka could catch heat if this series gets away from Dallas. And it did get away from Dallas. There's no heat for Luka. Boston, like, the way that played out, Boston was just way better. Like, they were just a way better team.
Yeah, they were. And I think that that's something, and we talked about it before the series even started, about, you know, Luka or the Mavs feeling pressure, feeling the heat. I didn't think it before, and I don't think it now. I don't think that there's really any kind of heat or criticism that should be thrown against the Mavericks. I mean, they're just overmatched, and, you know, it's clear. And it's really, I think, been fairly clear throughout the playoffs just how deep and talented and complete Boston actually is. It doesn't mean that there weren't hurdles along the way in the playoffs for Boston. It doesn't mean that they weren't tested or that they weren't pushed, because they absolutely were. But ultimately, I think that their depth and just their overall talent wins out. I remember when Jaylen Brown was signed to that big Supermax contract, and just, you know, there was a lot of criticism to the Celtics about that. Like, does he deserve that kind of money? Does he deserve to be the NBA's first $300 million player? Remember that? Remember that discourse?
Doesn't that seem like
about
a stupid
that?
Question now?
Definitely a stupid question now, because of just the way that he played this entire season, throughout the playoffs and all of that. And oh, by the way, you add in Jason Tatum. And oh, by the way, you know, you add in Kristaps Porzingis. And I know that he's been dealing with injuries throughout the playoffs, but you throw him in, a veteran like Al Horford, who's been there before, and others. I mean, they've just got all the pieces in one place to be that best team in the NBA. And I don't think, and I haven't really gone through and dissected their contract situations right now with all their players, but I mean, it doesn't seem like to me that they're losing anybody in impending free agency, or at least anybody of major significance, right? Unless I'm missing somebody.
Yeah, I mean, don't know.
I think that it should be a fairly strong expectation that they're back, and we might be talking about a dynasty for Boston after next year, or the year, you know, the year after that. Remember how long it's been since we've had repeat NBA champions. And I think that this Boston team, you know, could be the next team that we look at staking that claim of, you know, winning multiple NBA championships.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about a dynasty in the NBA, just because we haven't seen one in a little while. It's been since Golden State. It has been, what are we at, 6 or 7 years of different champions in a row. So it's almost, but it doesn't feel that long ago. Like, it doesn't feel that long ago that we had that. If Denver, for instance, was fully healthy and played that Boston team in a final, like, let's say you take last year's Denver champion and you put them up against this year's Boston champion, I think that's a pretty excellent series. You know, I think we have to leave room for that kind of stuff. There are so many stars across the league right now. It's just, this team seems like such a perfect mix of players, of styles, of coach, that it's hard to imagine it right now. I do think that the Mavericks were way overmatched, and that has a lot to do with it too. Like, way overmatched, and so were the Pacers. And so I don't think it's a foregone conclusion like it was when we had Durant and Steph and Clay and Draymond Green, and you got four Hall of Famers on that floor. Like, it's not that, I don't think, although I do think this team would fare well against it, but we'll see. You could have young stars here that, I mean, we're looking at Tatum and Brown. What are they, each 26? Like, they ain't going anywhere
yep.
for a while. And they have a young coach and the role players are there, and we'll just have to see. But it was, you know, not that interesting in NBA Finals from a competitive standpoint. But it was pretty interesting just because they were so good, and they showed us that if there were any doubters out there. You can leave us your comments on the series if you'd like. Again, just search KFH Radio. Speaking of that, before we take our first break, just because this is sort of a one-off question that we can sneak in here and cram in here a little bit before we go to break and move on to some other things. This is long, so if you're watching us, you can read it here. But pretty much Jordan on Facebook is asking us about should we expect a sellout at Koch Arena for K-State Wichita State on December 21st? And his question more or less goes on to ask, you know, what needs to happen to get back to selling out Koch Arena? I would say first thing, yes, I would expect Wichita State K-State to be a sellout on December 21st. I mean, it's 11,000 people. You could probably sell that game out even if you didn't have K-State fans show up, which they, of course, will. We almost sell out TBT games that feature these two teams. So, yes, I would say there's a very high probability that that game specifically will sell out. You know, weather could play a factor. December 21st, let me just look at what day of the week that is because I can't remember. It is a, yeah, it's a Saturday. Yeah, that game's likely selling out. I think the more interesting question is, what needs to happen to get back to selling out consistently? And I would tell you that there needs to be a perception that this team could win the American Athletic Conference. That's probably where I would start with that. There needs to be a feel and a buzz that this can be a tournament team that could win the league. Right now, I think there's still too many questions. We don't know if this can be a tournament team. We don't know if this is a top half of the league team. So I would say that's probably an unreasonable expectation that they just start selling out a bunch of games this year. You know, could over time, Tommy, if they get off to a really nice start, maybe. But I think you'd have to have a really good season this year with some buzz in the recruiting world next year, and then you could get back to that point. But it's going to take some time.
Yeah, we don't know the rest of their non-conference schedule yet. So I don't know what games are leading up to this K-State game on December 21st. I think it's going to depend upon, you know, a lot of it, how the early non-conference goes, you know, throughout November, early December, all of that. You know, there was a decent amount, I felt like, of excitement with the Shockers through the early stretch of the non-conference last year in Paul Mills's first season at the helm of Wichita State. I think it's going to depend a little bit on that. I think it's also going to depend upon how many K-State fans, you know, show up. And I think that they tend to show up pretty well. I know that those games where Kansas State has played at Intrust Bank Arena against Wichita State and things like that, like those have been pretty well attended games for the most part. And I think the excitement surrounding Kansas State should be high also with the way that their offseason has gone. So I'm not ready yet to commit and say that I think it's going to be a sellout, because I do think that there are some other factors that play into it that are up in the air as of right now. But I do think it will be a well-attended game regardless if it sells out or not.
It's going to be exciting to see K-State up close and you know what I mean? Like, even if K-State was playing whoever and they played it at Intrust, I think you'd have a ton of interest on the K-State side, because K-State has just gobs and gobs of buzz right now. And we'll get into that odd dynamic of, you know, K-State basketball, you know, going nuts in recruiting, and KU football, and almost this bizarro world of a few years ago. We'll get into that. It's one of the things we'll talk about today. But look, it is the doldrums now of the college basketball season. We're sort of through recruiting, basically. We're into summer work. The portal, the draft, all those decisions have been more or less made, and rosters are full. So, you know, it's the very brief amount of time here that we just have to sit and wait. And I think in a lot of ways, this is probably pretty important time for these coaches. And in college, we just talked about how good a fit all the players for Boston were together. There are a lot of teams in the NBA that just collect a lot of talent and it doesn't fit. I mean, KU last year to some degree was a lot of talent that didn't fit. I mean, I think you could fairly describe KU last year that way. And so K-State's got all this talent and I love it too. And quite frankly, I like Wichita State's collection, just to be perfectly honest. I like Wichita State's collection, but we don't know if the pieces fit. And so until we know if the pieces fit, it's going to be hard to imagine sellouts right out of the gate. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think that they're going to, at minimum, to Jordan's question, be in contention in the AAC to win the league. And then probably even if they can do that, it will take that and a nice buzz in the offseason. And then I think that's when you'd start to, I would imagine their season tickets start flying off the shelves.
Well, you know, you say you don't think that you're going to see sellouts out of the gate. I know that we're not going to see sellouts right out of the gate. And just, you can go back to, you know, even the Isaac Brown era when they were competing to win a conference championship, there weren't sellouts all the time at Coke Arena. Like, there's a lot that has to, you know, go right and get back into place. I'm not saying it can't be done. We've had this conversation so many different times about what it will take to get fans back inside Coke Arena. I think that if there's a sellout at Coke Arena on December 21st with Kansas State and Wichita State, I think a lot of that's going to be driven by Kansas State fans, you know, that live in the Wichita area. I mean, they travel well and they show up and things like that. I think that's where you'll probably see that, you know, sellout happen if it does on December 21st. But in the meantime, you know, yeah, you've got to get out to a hot start in the non-conference. And then, you know, I know that you, I actually think you're probably more optimistic about this Shocker team this coming season than I am, just because I want to see it first. And to your point, we know that they've got a good collection of talent. But how do the pieces fit? And where does that, how does that all pan out? I think that's up in the air, and I don't pretend to be an expert in that. I don't pretend to know that those pieces are going to fit with the players that that Paul Mills has assembled and the way that that's all been put together. I'm going to have to see it for myself, and at that point, then yeah, like I can jump on board, and you know, we can then, you know, be major advocates for getting people inside that building.
This is a major Paul Mills year for a lot of reasons. A, they just got to be better than they were last year. That part's obvious. But when you return basically more talent than anyone in the league, or, you know, right there at the top, most of that talent, that's Paul Mills' talent. Those are players he brought in, with the exception of maybe like Xavier Bell and Quincy Ballard, right? Those were guys he inherited. Everybody else are guys he brought in. And so now it's plus what. So this is a big year for him. The part of predicting for me when it comes to the AAC that's hard is I just don't have a good grasp of what the other teams have done, right? We have a little better grasp in the Big 12 because it's more headline. We have a little less of that in the AAC. I lean into what the coaches and what the media polls think because I know those people are paying closer attention. Like Taylor Eldridge could give us a pretty good idea, and maybe we'll have him in this summer to do that, because he's following what the rest of the league does. We're not following what the rest of the league does. I don't really know what the rest of the league's doing. We got too many other things to follow, so we just sort of sit and wait with everybody else. 869-1240 is the number to call. The IHOP hotline is open. The video stream and comments, appreciate that, Jordan, is open. Let's dig in to the Royals as they begin a stretch of baseball that's very winnable. Get some positive news on the injury front as well that we'll get to. It's all coming. It's all Brockton Caster at Sports Daily. A minute of the action on the diamond with ESPN Bet, the exclusive sports book of ESPN, is the only place to find offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities, including daily odds boosts and home run specials all season long. New users can get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with Hollywood Casino at Kansas Speedway. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. So the finals are done with betting. But if we go to Major League Baseball here today, Tommy, and look at the Royals, an opportunity against Oakland to perhaps beat up on somebody. Now, it is on the road. And what's interesting about tonight from a betting perspective, if I look at ESPN Bet right now, Tommy, you got Alec Marsh on the mound. It's actually not bad at just the money line, minus 135. However, if you think they could beat up on Hogan Harris in the A's, you can get -1.5 at plus 130, and that might actually be of interest to me. I might lay a run and a half to get plus money with the Royals against Oakland tonight. Day off, Yeah, it's on the road, but I kind of like it. I kind of like it. That's what I'm looking at and thinking about today is on the spread line, the Royals at plus 130. What do you think of that?
You know, I like that. I mean, Hogan Harris has pitched, you know, decently well. He doesn't have any wins or losses. He's 0-0, but he's got a 2.49 ERA and 23 strikeouts. He's only allowed two runs in his last 11 innings. Other than that, I don't know much about him. And really, I think that's the case, generally speaking, with the Athletics. There aren't a bunch of high-profile players. That's not the way that the A's do things. So it's been a struggle for Oakland as of late. They haven't won since June 7th, so they're definitely on a downhill slide. Meanwhile, we know the Royals, you know, can maybe take a little bit of a breather. They got a day off yesterday, and they feel like, okay, this is a three-game set on the West Coast that, you know, against a team that is winnable. And so we talked expectations yesterday about this stretch of baseball for Kansas City. I like that. I like that spread. I like the bet on there for the Royals to cover that. I do think that that's probably something that's realistic as long as Alec Marsh pitches anywhere close to the way that he did last week. If he's able to do that against the A's today, then I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, I do too. I just don't. This series is Oakland's hard because they're so bad, and it doesn't like they just are going to stay bad, and you want to sweep them. And yeah, it's on the road, and yeah, those things are you know maybe difficult and all these things, but man, are we really worried at all about Kansas City winning these games handily? We shouldn't be. You know what I mean? Like, we shouldn't be worried about Oakland. We shouldn't be worried about about anything.
I mean, if anything,
when it
though,
comes to Oakland.
I feel like, and I think you mentioned this a moment ago, I feel like that this line should be bigger, right? Like, I think that the Royals.
On the money line, I think
the Royals should be bigger favorites tonight. The fact that they're not, I don't know if that's Vegas thinking, okay, the A's have to win at some point. You know, they've got to snap that streak. And so maybe tonight will be the night that they do it. But, I mean, considering on that money line, it's only, what, minus 130 right now? I think the Royals should be larger favorites. And because that line is as low as it is, yeah, I'll take that on the money line.
Well, I see, and that's why I like the lay in it a little bit. That's why I kind of like laying the, you know, the lay down on a run and a half is because you can get that plus money. And so I think that's an opportunity. Normally I hate that. I hate the minus one and a half. I don't like it at all. But Oakland is, they're not good. They're not good at anything. They've got a decent bullpen, I suppose. It's baseball. I get it, right? It's baseball. Anything can happen in any individual baseball game. But it is also, I think, Tommy, this opportunity. And Harris has been good. Harris has been fine. You know, through 25 innings pitched, he has a lower ERA than Alec Marsh. But I think it's a little fool's goldie. His whip is also higher. I think there's a chance the Royals could tee off on him. And I'm just not scared. And if you keep getting good plus money on that run line. In with the Royals, I'm gonna bet them all series long. I just am. I think that this is their chance to flex, and they know it's their chance to flex. Matt Cotrero said yesterday he didn't want to focus about that because all the games count the same. I get it. It's good mentality to have, but it's not reality. The reality is they have been getting hammered by this schedule lately, and they finally have an opportunity to not have that schedule. I think they're going to take full advantage of it.
Well, they need to. They absolutely have to. You know, and we discussed this yesterday. With what the Guardians have upcoming and with the Royals having this three-game set against the A's on the road before they come back home, before Cleveland and Kansas City match up next week, you've got to take advantage where you can, where those opportunities exist. And this is one of those stretches of baseball where that opportunity has existed. So I don't think that it is out of line, and maybe my expectations are too high, but I don't think it's out of line to expect that the Royals sweep this three-game set.
No, like,
bare minimum, you've got to take 2 of 3 from a team that is sputtering and faltering like Oakland is.
Yes.
And after coming off of just this stretch of baseball that Kansas City has come off of, I think you've got to, again, strike while the iron is hot and take advantage of those opportunities.
Yes.
If they do that, if they can at minimum take 2 of 3, but I even think a sweep is going to be, that's where our expectations should lie.
I do too.
You do that, that tells me that this team absolutely has its sights on the postseason, right? If you come off of this stretch of baseball and you can come off of it while holding pace with the Guardians and then sweep the Athletics and not take this series off, that tells me that this team has their sights set on, you know, a much bigger picture, a much grander prize, you know, than just getting to that 90 win mark and maybe trying to get a wild card spot. Like, they want to win the division. If they can take 2 of 3 at minimum or sweep the A's, that tells me they're coming hard after the Guardians, and that gets me that much more excited about that series next week.
If they, for some reason, lost this series, it won't be because they're not trying. It would be because they have dud starts, probably. It would be about the only way that I could see that happening is if they just get absolute eggs from their starters in any of the games. But when you look at this team, there's absolutely no reason that it's not playoffs on the brain for the players, coaches, fans, anybody. They have the depth in the starting rotation that should keep them in the mix all year long. They have a dynamic offense. It's an interesting offense, but I'm coming around on it for sure. And they need a couple of bullpen pieces like every team in baseball does. Like, there's no reason this can't be a postseason team. So, yeah, your eyes should get big when you play the A's and when you play the Marlins coming up. They just should. Because you need to beat up on those teams. Great teams win the games that they're supposed to win. And they get to play, you know, you get to play these kinds of games, I guess, a little more than maybe normal. Like, it's almost like if you don't take advantage of these games, you're at such a disadvantage in the postseason because the American League is just loaded this year. What are you going to get? Oakland and the White Sox. Maybe the Angels. As three teams, maybe, that you can look at league-wide and feel really good about. Like those are teams we can beat up on. That's it. And I don't even know if I'd put the Angels in that category, if they're healthy. But this is one of those teams. And so you got to go in and take advantage. And I think that they will. Marsh tonight, he's got a chance to continue his momentum. They need him to as they get healthy. That's the other news of yesterday, Tommy. So it's both rehab assignments starting for Massey and Waka, which I think is the positive news you'd want. Massey goes straight to AAA, so his rehab shouldn't take very long. And then Waka's eligible this weekend. Now, he is starting his rehab in, like, the Arizona, you know, whatever league. So I'm not sure if that tells me he's going to be back. Like, he may need at least 2, if not 3 rehab starts. I don't know why else he would go down there. Like, why else would he go there to get that work in?
I wasn't anticipating, to be honest, Michael Waka returning until I think I had penciled in the 4th of July, like somewhere around there. That was
When
I thought, yeah. I kind of thought, well, you know, you're talking about a fractured foot, and
I mean, I don't know, maybe that was reported. And I just knew,
and I don't know if it was, but I know that he was. I think that 15-day IL stint, I think, ended right around the 4th of July, maybe a couple of days before the 4th of July. So in my head, I just kind of thought, okay, well, that'll be when he comes back. If he can get back earlier than that, in my mind, at least, that's a bonus. Like, that's a positive. I agree with you about Massey. I mean, you know, it didn't seem like, with what Massey was dealing with, that he was going to be out for an extended period of time. My only hope with Massey as the season progresses is that this is his last IL stint. You know, he was on the shelf early this season. When he was on the field, he was productive, and he had turned into one of their more reliable hitters before he got hurt again, went back on the IL. So hopefully this is the end of it, and they can keep him healthy for the remainder of the season, because I do think that as you get down the stretch, you do want his bat in the lineup. You do want what he brings to the table. And even defensively, you want him on the field as often as you possibly can, but you have to keep him healthy.
Yeah, he it could be exactly what, you know, cures what the last little bit of the offense that needs to be cured. Here's Waka. So Waka is eligible, I think, to come off June 22, which would be this weekend against the Rangers. Matt Quatraro, I guess he said this Sunday, and I missed this nugget. I guess on Sunday, Quatraro said he could just need this one start in Arizona. He threw a simulated game, and maybe that's why he's already down there. But he threw a three-inning simulated game on Thursday of last week, and I think there is a thought that he could just need this one rehab start to stretch out, and then he'd be right back. He went on June 2nd, and remember, it was just 15-day IL, which surprised us when we heard what the injury was, but that started on June 2nd. So, you know, he could be back at any point here. This weekend, though, it sounds like is a real possibility. So, I mean, I think he's back soon. One way or the other, it'll be soon. But the point of all of that is, if he's fine, right? If it's all good to go, because it's not an arm injury. You look at these stretches in your schedule, and you have to think about them with your eyes huge. How could you not? You got to have them in a tight, especially if you're going to catch Cleveland. You got to have them. Now, wild card. Maybe not as much, but I do think their eyes still need to be on the divisional prize. I mean, there's no reason not to. You have so many games against Cleveland still to play. So if that's the case, I say sweep. I say sweep or bust.
And I mean, isn't, two that, out of isn't that what makes the last 12 games for the Royals so remarkable? That even though they finished it 5-7 in those 12 games, that they're still, in my mind, and everybody's mind should be, let's go get the Guardians and let's win the division, because it very easily could have been, we've pretty much got nothing except a wild card at this point.
The Guardians played all last place teams there, right? Like, they didn't take advantage of their opportunity either for the Royals in that stretch. Now make them pay and go get it done against the A's. More on that game specifically tonight. But I do like, I'm going to lay the 1.5 on that tonight. We'll see how that goes. But that's the way I'm going to play that. All right. A lot of buzz. We've got interesting things happening right now with the Chiefs and the Royals and their potential move to the state of Kansas. A huge news day on that yesterday that really comes into the focus for the next few days, as in a special session, it will be brought up by lawmakers. They had a lot of discussions on this yesterday, so we'll get into that story as well. We need to talk about this recruiting explosion for KU football all of a sudden. Lots of good stuff today on the program. Your comments on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. Our number one giveaway today is some HTO. It's our text to win contest. We'll have one this hour, one the next hour. Next hour, it'll be Kenny Chesney tickets and Zach Brown Band at Arrowhead, so stay tuned for that. But right now, all you have to do to win some HTO iced tea and free rain coffee from either Wichita location or Derby is text the keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. Again, that's 20357. Just send the word T. Each participant can enter once a day. Message and data rates apply. We'll be right back with some KU football recruiting news. That's next on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here. Glad to be here with you. Don't forget that you've got a chance to win some HTO right now. Just text the keyword T to 20357. Message and data rates apply. We'll have a Kenny Chesney, Zach Brown Band text to win contest in hour number two. Tommy, enlighten us. What on earth is happening with KU football recruiting? This is wild.
Yeah, they had a massive weekend as far as recruiting was concerned, and it really is headlined by Bryce Foster, who is the transfer from Texas A&M. This is somebody that can be a difference maker on the Jayhawks offensive line right away. He's a former five-star recruit. He was the top-ranked center in the transfer portal. He was a starter for the Aggies this last season, all 12 games for them, and 12 games as a freshman. He was a freshman All-American, an SEC All-Freshman. He's got the pedigree to be a difference maker. And he, I think, immediately slots in to be the starting center for the Jayhawks this year. He's got, I think, 2 years of eligibility remaining. So, you know, if they can keep him after this season, then, you know, they've at least got him for a couple of years. So that's kind of the headliner of all of the news and the recruiting accolades this weekend from the Jayhawks. But they did also get a handful of really highly ranked high school recruits coming in over the weekend. It all kind of started with Adrian Hawley. He's out of Michigan City, Indiana. He's a defensive end. He's a three-star. He chose KU over Cincinnati, Minnesota, and other programs. They also got Garrett Martin, who's also a defensive end. He's out of Scottsdale, Arizona. He was the number six player in the state of Arizona, and he chose KU over a bunch of offers from teams like Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, K-State, and others. Kenyon Rivera, Buford, Georgia. He had offers from Michigan, Miami, Missouri, and other teams in the SEC. He's an outside linebacker. I mean, the list goes on and on. They had several different commitments over the weekend. A lot of them were on the defensive side of the ball, whether we're talking about edge rushers or we're talking about linebackers, other players like that. But this is definitely a massive haul for Lance Leipold.
Well, and it's, look, as far as like national rankings, and it's been both transfers and signees, it's not anything outrageous or crazy, but you got to remember what they've been able to do without that, right? Like, it has been even worse in the past, and look what they've done. Now they're getting this, and look at it reminds me of the good old K-State classes, doesn't it? I mean, that's what it reminds me of. And a ton of three stars, get them coached up. You add in the talented transfers, and KU's right there. And so is K-State.
And this is it's
wild.
This is where I think there are similarities to what K-State typically does in recruiting. One of the big commitments, and I think maybe overlooked with some of the more like high profile players in the portal or recruiting or whatever, is Brandon Schmelz, who is from Axtell in the state of Kansas. He's the number 10 player in the state. He played quarterback and cornerback for Axtell High School. They went to the 8-man Division II state championship this year. They're a 1A school. They're small, all of that. But that's what Kansas State does. They go out and they find in-state players. And maybe not the largest schools in the state, but ones that can come in and are great athletes and can make a difference right away for the Jayhawks. And I think that they project Schmelz to be that guy who can be a contributor. And that's always been a knock on the Jayhawks, is that they have a hard time recruiting in-state. Kansas State typically does a better job at that. This is a pretty solid commitment for them inside the state of Kansas.
We are entering the golden era of college football in the state of Kansas. I will say it till my first face turns blue. We are about to go through a stretch of at least a few years of the best collective college football, I think, at least in recent memory, right? At least of the last couple of decades that we've had. You got a new stadium going up. It's going to be wild. Speaking of stadiums, could we be adding another stadium here in the state of Kansas, Arrowhead, and wherever it is that the Royals will play? 50-50 at worst, Tommy. I'm telling you, this is real. It's got legs. It's being brought up in special session. And the things being tossed around by the supportive lawmakers are very interesting. Let's talk about that next, in our next hour to start things off. All right. Don't forget, we have a chance to win Kenny Chesney, Zach Brown Band tickets coming up in our second hour as well. Want to say thank you, by the way, to Prairie Fire Coffee for fueling us up each and every morning here at KFH. Staff enjoys some great coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. We'll come back, second hour coming for you here on Sports Daily. Albrecht and Caster, don't go away.
This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Caster.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two here with you. The IHOP hotline is open for you, brought to you by IHOP, where you can get the big farmhouse breakfast. Two smoked sausage links, two strips of hickory smoked bacon, two pork sausage links, two pieces of thick-cut ham, as well as two eggs, hash browns, two buttermilk pancakes, and toast. That is quite a feast there. We appreciate IHOP for bringing us the hotline. You can also leave us your comments on our video stream, which is available to you on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. Man, here we go. Into hour number two. We're going to talk about the Royals and the Chiefs and their, well, and their opportunity, we'll call it, to come to Kansas, or maybe you call it Kansas's opportunity to lure them over. The latest is they're going to enter a special session, and that will be brought up in the special session among Kansas lawmakers. So we can get into that a little bit. A lot of comments on both sides, a lot of thoughts on both sides of that discussion that we can get to, certainly. So we appreciate that. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club, trying to get back in the normal flow of things after the big Wichita Open last weekend. A very successful event. We appreciate Crestview's support. Both golf courses, 36 holes of golf out there, are back open and available for you if you'd like to learn more about Crestview and all the things that they offer, far more than just golf. Tommy and I are just members. You can give them a call. Let them know we sent you here from Sports Daily. But the big news yesterday, as we make our way into this second hour, is the Chiefs and the Royals. And there will be a special session. Now, the special session is not for the Chiefs and the Royals. It's for taxes and a tax relief plan that's likely coming to the state of Kansas. So there you go for that. But as a part of it now, they're going to cram this in. This gets really interesting, Tommy. We get some more details yesterday. It sounds like, typically, a star bond covers 50% of the cost with a 20-year payback. I think the proposal is picking up somewhere around 70% of the cost and a 30-year payback. So a longer-term commitment that would typically go into a star bond. I don't have a full grasp or understanding of the, is it just the Chiefs? Is it the Chiefs and Royals? I've heard both. We'll get some more of those details. So keep that in mind. But it's here. It's real. Tommy, I've called it 50-50 at worst. I really do believe that. I think that there is a very good chance of this. I don't think any of this is smoke. I think it's all very real. I think that these pro teams, quite frankly, know what the state of Missouri is doing. They had their chance to vote it in, and they didn't vote it in. And I think that will create some urgency here. It's here, right? Like, this is all very real. And I just don't think that, I don't think we can overstate what's happening here. And that's that there's a real chance that both of these teams could be coming across.
Yeah, I think there is. And I think I read, correct me if I'm wrong here, because you, I think, are more well-versed on this than I am, but that if this ends up getting to the governor's desk, that she is unlikely to veto this. Is why I think I read that yesterday, that if it does make it all the way through to where, you know, her final sign off is there, that she's more than likely not going to veto this. Like, she will maybe go along with this plan. A lot of the financial terms and the way that this all is built, I'm not super intelligent. You know, I have a hard time like figuring out exactly what it all means. But what I do know is that in the conversations about these star bonds, typically, they're 20 years. This one would be 30 years from what I've read, where there would be 30 years in that star bond to pay it back and all of that in the payback schedule, you know, which does, you know, kick that can down the road a little bit more to where you don't need to necessarily get it all taken care of just in the 20 years that typically star bonds are put together for. So I don't know. I mean, I think that there are definitely factors at play. There are definitely lawmakers that are aggressive on this in the state of Kansas. And you know what? For once, I actually am kind of like, yeah, I'm glad that the lawmakers are jumping on this and they're moving quickly on something. That's not typically
the
way
discussion.
That's not the way things typically go in politics. I mean, things move at a snail's pace. They're moving relatively quickly on this. And I think that they saw the opportunity when Jackson County voted it down a couple of months ago. They're like, look, we need to strike while the iron is hot. When are we ever going to have another opportunity to get something like this done for the state of Kansas? And I think that they have absolutely jumped in head first. And yeah, I mean, you said that there's a lot of smoke. I think I agree with you. I think it's a real thing.
At minimum, right? you need to at least have the discussion. And we said, look, they crammed sports betting through. It happened fast. Why? Because this possibility was out there. I'm telling you, it's why. And so we get to this point now, and yeah, you'd be foolish to not go through and dot your I's and cross your T's and just see if this makes sense. The thing for me on this is it seems very achievable to do some math and see if this works, right? If you're willing to pay for 70% of the project, then the Chiefs and the Royals need to be willing to open up their books and say, this is how much revenue we generated in the last year. That should go up, right? Because ticket prices would go up with a new... So you could project that up just a little bit. Say, here's what the sales tax is in a star bond. Here's what you'd make in the star bond over 30 years. Does this pay for itself? It's pretty simple math, right? Yeah. Like, what? Why? Like, I don't think we even have to get into the... Does it create this and does it create this? You've got to factor in, and I hadn't thought about this till yesterday. Think about all the athletes now that would pay their state income tax on, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in totality to the state of Kansas. And so that factors into it. Again, I don't know if the math works because I don't know what the Chiefs and Royals generated in revenue that could be taxable, but I would think that's pretty easy to project out. I think it would become the greatest cultural export for the state, no question. And the reason that I am not as quick to say no as you might normally be is because it's done through a star bond, which in theory means you pay for it if you use it, and if you don't use it, you don't pay for it. People in Garden City, if the star bond is successful, people in Garden City won't pay a dime for this unless they go to a game.
Yeah, and they've clarified, too, that the debt with this star bond is not a debt that is responsible to be paid back by the state of Kansas. Like, this does not go into the state debt, right? Like, this is a separate thing. And I think I read that where, let me see if I can, this is in the Kansas Reflector, basically talking about how it's not a, like the, yeah, here it is. Okay, so the proposed star bond bill addressed one financial concern raised by skeptics of the attempt to raid Missouri for the Chiefs or the Royals. The bill says that bonds for stadium projects issued by the Kansas Development Finance Authority would be obligations of the KDFA and shall not constitute a debt of the state of Kansas within the meaning of the Constitution of the state of Kansas. So apparently they're not, I don't exactly know what full faith and credit bonds
means. Tell me what the KDFA stands for again.
The Kansas Development Finance Authority. And they would be it would be payable solely from the sources identified in the Star Bonds Financing Act, namely incremental sales tax, alcohol tax, and expanded lottery money is what they have put in this bill. So I think there had been some concern that like this would just go on the books of the state of Kansas, and that if it didn't get repaid in full by the revenue being generated from the district, that then the state of Kansas and the taxpayers would be on the hook to pay the rest of it.
Then,
it doesn't look like that's the case, at least the way that this bill was written. Again, I'm not an expert on this sort of thing, but I think that was one thing that was kind of up in the air.
So I would hear that as you could divert like lottery money to pick up that tab and not create a new tax
and so it does,
on the taxpayers.
Yeah, and this does explain it. So it goes on to say that provision would forbid general tax revenue flowing into the Kansas Treasury to be called upon to pay holders of star bonds issued for the stadium projects if one of the sports business districts failed to generate sufficient revenue in the future.
Well, that's interesting because again, like, it sounds like a good sales pitch, but you do have to remember if they take tax money that's being used for something and divert it somewhere else isn't getting the tax
money
they would normally get.
They can't do that.
No,
as part of
the lottery money, but the lottery money is used for something. So, you know, the lottery money doesn't just sit there.
Isn't a good portion of the lottery money being diverted to be in a fund for this specific reason?
The gambling money, not
the lottery
money. The lottery
money too. I
mean,
I know that there are other places where the lottery money is being used, but like this is not like, and I think one of the concerns was, you know, what happens if in 30 years this doesn't, you know, get all the money. And that was one of my concerns, too. If the revenue generated doesn't pay off the debt, then at that point, are they going to hike up taxes statewide for citizens?
No, they won't do that.
They can't do that. They can't do that as part of this project.
All right. So let's just look at the lottery here, because that money goes somewhere. We're using it for something. I think the schools get a payoff a little bit on the lottery. So we just have
actually,
to be,
Jad has a thought.
That was initially the case, that the lottery money was pretty much always earmarked for schools at one point. A lot of that gets diverted towards general fund now. And so when you're talking about not being able to use the money from the general fund, well, if we can use lottery money to cover the bonds if they don't get covered already, that's basically money that probably would have been going into the general fund anyway, just due to the way that the lottery money kind of works out now.
But it's only the people that are spending money in the lottery to, you know, have that, like they're choosing to buy lottery tickets.
Correct.
And that sort of thing. So that money is not just my and my neighbors having higher taxes that we have to pay.
Yes.
To pay back the stadium.
Yeah, true. But that's money coming from outside of the guidelines of what they're saying it would be.
So $85 million was transferred to the state. So the basically the lottery in the state of Kansas produced over $338 million in sales. More than $85 million of that was transferred to the state, according to KansasLottery.com. $25 million of that went into the state's general fund. $42 million, these are the two biggest chunks, went into the Economic Development Initiatives Fund. And then there you had some for juvenile detention, for the prison system, for veterans, for mental health, much smaller portions to those. But the two biggest chunks are the Economic Development Initiatives Fund and the State General Fund. Now, what they may be saying is it would only pull from the part of the lottery money there that is used for economic development. What does that mean? Well, that could mean, in theory, and again, we got to hear these, but you got to try to read between the lines sometimes with lobbyists. What it could mean is there's already funding within lottery money for economic development. So if the star bond doesn't pay for it, that economic development money just gets diverted to this piece of economic development. I wouldn't have a problem with that. You at that point are saying this is good economic development, and you would be potentially pulling from that. If it protects it from pulling from the state general fund or any of the other things that the lottery potentially funds, I'm in. Right? Like that's the thing for me. If it's all through economic development, if it's all through stuff that already exists, and maybe you don't get, I don't know, a new water park for an extra 4 or 5 years because you have had to pull from that to pay for this, you can sell me on that pretty easily, quite frankly.
And remember, this because is all assuming that the revenue generated is not enough to pay back.
Which I think it probably will be. Which I think it probably will be over 30 years. Now, you're still, I mean, it still means the state's picking up 70% of this, right? But it is different than some places where it's just a tax, right? It's just a flat whatever. In Jackson County, that was a sales tax extension that they were trying to get, right? Let's not forget that
either. It wasn't even an
increase. Didn't want it.
It was just an extension of the current sales tax.
There is a proposed Wichita, schools bond right now that, and this is why you have to be really careful with politicians, lobbyists, whatever, the interested parties, because right now the school district, Tommy, is telling you they want to get another bond in and it's not going to cost the taxpayers any more money. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Yes, it will, because we just paid off the old bond and we wouldn't have to pay for that anymore. That extension they're trying to say is no more money, but in reality is, yes, it is. We wouldn't have to pay for that if this got voted down. So you have to be really careful with the way this stuff gets worded. They're going to say, oh, it's no new money, when it's just you keep paying the money you've already been paying that maybe you don't need to pay for. It doesn't, like, imagine buying a car and then be like, we're just going to extend your payments. It's not any new money.
They do that all the time, right?
You just get to keep paying them.
Finish up the financing and then
keep rolling that forward.
Because they want the interest, you know, that you're paying off of it with the financing company. Here's the other thing that I think has been overlooked, and I do think is a crucial part of this entire thing. The lease is not up until, what, 2031, I believe, at Truman Sports Complex. And it's going to take a number of years anyway to build these stadiums. You're talking about job creation on the Kansas side. You're talking about bringing in...
Maybe.
Right? What do you mean, maybe? You're going to have qualified...
Because the same Missouri people that are working at the stadium now could, in theory, just drive across the border.
No. I'm not talking about workers at the stadium. I'm talking about building the stadium.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
Talking about
yes.
You've got three or four or five years of
100%
of
a provision in this needs to be that it's local, Kansas companies
local
building. Yeah,
companies
absolutely.
Building these stadiums. Yeah. For job creation in that area to build the stadium and then build the districts around the stadium. You're talking about probably substantial job creation with this project. And again, like once it's all in place and all of that, it's probably going to be fairly negligible as far as the new jobs. But at least that period of time where it's under construction, you're probably going to be looking at quite a few new jobs.
Let's take your comments on this when we come back. We'll give you what our gut feeling is on whether this goes and where the Chiefs and Royals will play after 2031. Let's also set up our text giveaway. If you would like to win tickets to see Kenny Chesney and the Zach Brown Band, that's right, Kenny Chesney and the Zach Brown Band, just text the keyword Kenny, K-E-N-N-Y, to 20357. That's Kenny to 20357. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. That'll go through the rest of the hour. We'll come back. We'll continue this discussion. It's all Brockton Caster at Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you on this Tuesday. And it is a very fascinating Tuesday because we are about to get right smack in the middle of some serious political discussions on whether the Chiefs and the Royals should come to the state of Kansas. Tommy, what does your gut say? 50-50. Lay it out. Where do you think this thing ends?
Well, I think they end up in Kansas, and I think it's actually probably more than 50-50 at this point. I mean, all signs are pointing to not only Kansas making an aggressive offer, but I have a hard time thinking that Missouri is going to really be able to do anything to counter this. I mean, it's not that Missouri doesn't have the desire at the highest level. Mike Parson, the governor of Missouri, is on record saying that the state would, you know, put together... He calls it a competitive offer regarding the professional sports franchises, but I just have a hard time thinking that it's going to be something that the taxpayers are going to have an appetite for. Maybe like last ditch effort, like there's panic setting in and maybe Missouri can get something done. But the biggest differentiator that we've learned all along in this is the star bond, and Missouri doesn't have that. They don't have the capabilities of doing that. They also don't have legalized sports betting, which I know is a major factor. The state of Kansas does. So, I mean, I do think that everything is positioned for Kansas to become the favorite to land actually both teams. Honestly, at this point, I have a hard time thinking that, you know, Missouri is going to really be able to do a whole lot that can counter this and have it be as attractive for either franchise.
Sorry, Tommy had a muted mic there. We got a viewer on YouTube saying, filling your head with this spectator sports stuff rots your brain, bread and circuses. I don't think that, look, there are people that are going to say it's a bad idea because there are a lot of economists who said this doesn't work. I would say I think the Chiefs will end up on the Kansas side. The most complicated thing for me is how the Royals fit into all of this, quite frankly. I'm not sure how the Royals fit into all of this. We have a text giveaway contest right now for Kenny Chesney and Zach Brown Band at Arrowhead Stadium. That also would apply to the star bond. I think that, you know, A, put a dadgum dome on the stadium. Listen, you can yell at me all you want, old school football people. I don't care. You can open that roof up. Put it retractable so that you can get use out of that stadium all winter long. And all summer long, if it's sweltering hot, you put concerts in that stadium frequently. and you just take in all the star bond money you can take, I would say I think the Chiefs are coming. I don't know how the Royals fit into this. To me, it still makes sense for the Royals to play in downtown Kansas City. That's not Jackson County necessarily. Can they still get that done for the Royals? I'm not sure. The Royals coming over, we've seen Major League Baseball teams thrive in the rural settings. It's not outrageous. I mean, you basically drive a different direction if you're in the metro than you drive now, and you'd be there. It'd be a, you know, I'm not an expert on the geography up there, but it's about the same probably to drive to a sporting game if you live in Kansas City as it is to drive to a Royals game. So I guess it can work. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know all the ins and outs on how they're tied together or not. We'll see that probably this week. But I would say at least the Chiefs. I would at this point guess that they're coming, because I think that the timing is perfect for the appetite. I think Kansas has this unique way to do something like this. I think we have a recent history of lawmakers moving quickly in a bipartisan manner with gambling. And I think we have a governor who is as middle of the road politically a governor can be. The thing about something like this is it's not really partisan decision-making anyway. There's not really a partisan take on these discussions, because all of these politicians would probably like to say A or B. Yeah, I was a part of the reason that the Chiefs are in Kansas. Or, yeah, I avoided disaster on a stadium like that if it goes the other way. So it's more about like posturing than it is, because there's not like a party affiliation that wants to do one thing or the other here. You're definitely going to have fiscal conservatives that say absolutely not. And you're going to have free spending liberal candidates that are like, this is a great idea, we should do this immediately. So I think that there's enough momentum and enough interest. I think the star bond would be, you know, passed for sure. And if the star bond's passed, I'm just not sure what better option the Chiefs would have.
Well, I'm
like,
not
what
sure.
Better option do you have than a star bond?
I'm not sure. And I don't think it's honestly going to really come down to the team as much as it's going to come down to what the offer from Missouri ends up being, if there's a counter of any kind. I mean, because look, like I mentioned before, Missouri doesn't have star bonds. And so if you can push it to a position where, like, Missouri just, yeah, they might put together some kind of counteroffer, but I don't know what that's going to be. I don't know Missouri politics, but I don't know what that's going to be without putting it in front of the taxpayers. This is not something that the state of Kansas has to put to a vote with the taxpayers.
No.
They'll have to vote amongst themselves, but the star bond is not anything.
To get a star bond passed.
But but this is not anything that the taxpayers across the state are going to have to
correct.
Vote in or vote out, or even in a county are going to have to vote in or vote out. Missouri, I don't know if they have that kind of mechanism to do anything like this, and the voters of Jackson County have already voted it down. So I just don't know how aggressive Missouri even can be. And it may not even be like they may have the desire to be aggressive. Governor Mike Parson may absolutely want to do everything he possibly can to retain at least the Chiefs in Missouri, and maybe the Royals too if it works. I just don't know what they're going to be able to counter with if Kansas can put together this package.
That's the key. There won't be an easier offer, probably, for these teams to do it than what they could do through a star bond. You know, here's how much you have. We've figured the number. Here's what we need you to pay. Here's what we'll pay. And for the taxpayers, if it works properly, you won't have to pay anything. It'll be paid for if you use the facility. If you buy a ticket to a Chiefs game, you're going to pay an extra, whatever it is, 7.5. I don't even know what it is. Whatever that percentage is. And that's what it is. And that's how it gets paid for. That line item on your receipt will tell you that money is going to pay for this stadium.
But isn't that even then something that's going to, for Missouri at least, would have to have a special election, some kind of vote?
I have no idea.
To pass that through?
I don't know anything about Missouri politics.
I just don't think they can.
Not a thing.
I just don't think that they can, like, make that be the case.
The only thing I can observe from Missouri politics that I've seen is it gets messy there, and they can't get anything figured out.
They couldn't
out or
even
solved.
Get sports gambling done. They're still
don't have it.
They're still working on trying to find a way to pass that through. And that's been going on a few years now. So, again, like, I just don't know, even if they have the desire to retain the franchises, I just don't know that they've got the mechanisms in place to be able to have anything competitive against Kansas.
It is not as good. I don't unless they came out and said, we'll pay for all of it, and that passed a vote. But to your point, the issue there is we've seen the appetite for that already. So what kind of gamble and risk are you willing to take if you're the Chiefs and or maybe the Royals? Like, you know people don't want to do it, right? Like, that's the whole point. Like, they told you that, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't close. So if you're these businesses, basically, are you really going to sit around and sit on your thumbs and wait and say, well, yeah, maybe we get a better offer, but again, we don't even know if it passes.
If the state of
Kansas says, here it is, come on.
Tell me in what way, if there is any avenue on here in this entire situation, that the state of Missouri has an advantage over the state of Kansas. Because I can't find one.
That they pay for 80% instead of 70%. Well,
without putting it to a public vote, how?
Right. That's the how is the problem. The how is the problem.
I don't think they have that way to make that happen.
Well, here's how. They break up the Chiefs and the Royals, and they're part of two different discussions. And you go to just Chiefs.
That still doesn't change the fact that, like, they would need to get public approval.
No, I know. The risk is there. Right. No. It doesn't eliminate the risk, but it might enhance your chances. Because I think the appetite right now for the Chiefs would be much higher. Again, though, you've got to think of this from you're the businessman here. You own the teams. There is no way you go that risky route. And
why
not
would I tell
this other one?
Why would I tell Kansas, if I'm Clark Hunt or even John Sherman, especially John Sherman, why would I tell the state of Kansas if they're willing to pay for 70% of the stadium deal? And it's like a sure thing that does not require a public vote, that the legislators can just move it forward, and it doesn't sound like Governor Kelly is going to veto it if it hits her desk. Why would you thumb your nose at that for the alternative of the state of Missouri, regardless of the way that they structure it, probably going to have to put it to a public vote when Jackson County, Missouri has already voted it down? Why would you do
that?
There is no way in this entire situation that Missouri has any kind of advantage, any kind of leg up over the state of Kansas.
I mean, you wouldn't, Tommy. You wouldn't. And so that's the whole point. If Kansas passes this through, which is why both of us think that the Chiefs will be playing in the state of Kansas.
Like, you asked me 50-50. I think it's more than that, honestly,
that they end up
in Kansas.
The reason I say 50-50 is they still have to pass the star bond. So that part is far from over. Like, they're going to talk about it now, but that's the part where I say 50-50. I don't know that they get they don't always get star bonds through. Like, there's not always agreement on that.
They'll get a star bond through for this. If they need to get it done, they're going to get a star bond through. If there's enough appetite for it,
there
it sounds like there
skeptics.
Is.
There will be skeptics that it will pay for itself. There will be. Now, you just have to, again, what has the Kansas Speedway and Sporting KC done with their star bond, right? Are there other cities or states across the country who have utilized star bonds in these types of projects? That I would want that answered if I were a lawmaker. If I'm a lawmaker sitting there and making this call, I'd need just a couple of things answered. Chiefs, Royals, show me your books. I want to know how much revenue you generated. I want to add a sales tax to that and see what potentially that adds just if you made what you made last year. Okay, that'd be the first thing I want to know. Second thing I'd want to know, how much state income comes in through a state income tax by these professional athletes? You know, how much are we generating through being able to tax on state income that we weren't before? Because you're talking about collectively, I mean, probably about $400 million of payroll that could be hit with state income tax now. Okay, so I want to know that too. Put all that together over 30 years. Does that cover this price tag? That's the most important thing in all of this. And then the other thing I'd want to know, are there other states that have done this way? And in those, how does that work? How does that work? Did it work for them? I don't know. Bruce says, I'm a huge sports fan. One, most of America already think the Chiefs are in Kansas. It's a good point that we'll get to. And two, why can we contrive a way to make this work but not Medicaid expansion? Bruce, I'm not sure on that. You're asking the wrong person as far as Medicaid expansion. But I do think we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I'm not sure because here would be my answer, Bruce, because I don't think Medicaid expansion can be paid for through a star bond. That's strictly earmarked for economic development projects. And so that would be why, because that's taking existing tax money or increasing taxes, whereas a star bond is a sales tax. So that would be my best attempt to answer the second half of your question. And I'm not a Medicaid expert, so please take that for what it's worth. What I would say to your first question, most of America already thinks the Chiefs are in Kansas. Yeah, that doesn't really matter as much for this discussion, even though I think you're right by that, Bruce. I think the point is, it doesn't matter what everybody thinks about that. You're not potentially gaining any of the economic advantages to that. And again, most economists say, typically, this stuff doesn't pay for itself, but typically it's not done through a star bond. And so you do have to think of, like, here's the other thing if I'm a lawmaker, Tom, and to your point earlier, the other thing that I want before I sign off, there is not 1 ounce of work done in this project that is not from a Kansas business through Kansas taxpayers. Not one. You cannot outsource the toilet urinal cakes from anywhere but the state of Kansas. There is not one sliver of this done outside of the state of Kansas. It's going to be a Kansas architect. I don't care if there's experts in other places. It's going to be a Kansas architect. It's going to be a Kansas construction company full of Kansas workers. I don't want Missouri workers coming across the border to work on this project. This is 100% Kansas jobs. And we can sign off on that. Right? Like, not one piece of this. The parking lot paint can't be striped by anybody that is not inside the state of Kansas. And I think that helps sell it for me, too, if I'm a lawmaker. But I would have questions, and I would need answers before I signed off on this if I was one of the people charged with making this decision.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. So it sounds like the proponents of this bill, they've sort of narrowed kind of what they're wanting or kind of what they're asking for, to try to get maybe some of the opponents of this particular project in the state to feel better about it. And it does sound like, and who knows, you know, as these discussions go on, but according to the Associated Press, this whole session was called to talk about tax cuts. And like, that sounds like, I mean, of course, they're always going to say
that's
that,
why they're having that,
that's
a
the
session.
Priority, right?
Yeah.
Is to try to find ways
100%.
To slash income tax and property tax and things like that. This is the second priority behind it. But at the same time, I mean, this is definitely the thing that will get a lot more attention. Not that cutting taxes won't, because that always will. But like, this is something that's like a, you know, strike while the iron is hot. We're never going to get this opportunity ever again.
There is a very much more so important thing happening in the special session. It's why the special session, they didn't call a special session to vote on the Chiefs. They happened to be having a special session, right, as the Chiefs deal fell apart on the other side. And apparently last week, both sides, which is basically the lawmakers and the governor, believe they have a deal done now. So that part shouldn't be that complicated. They think they have it done. You know, the Congress would like to see a little more, but they're at a compromise for now, and so they'll at least get that part done. And I think quickly, and I think that's the other reason they're willing to put this in, is because they think they're already done on the other part of it. They just have to get up there and vote, but they think they already have the deal. Whereas in the past, they thought they had the deal, but the governor didn't really like the deal and she vetoed it. I get the impression that is not the case this time, and all parties are good. So then you're going to have room to do this other thing. And it is important. Look, I'm glad we're having the discussion now. The opportunity is there. Don't miss the opportunity. It may ultimately say, you know what, that just doesn't make sense for us either. And that's fine. But having the discussion is a very important discussion to have that could impact the state for a long, long time. Long, long time. What if a Super Bowl comes in the next 30 years? You want to know another question if I was a lawmaker? Hey, NFL, if we do this, how many Super Bowls can we get? Can we get a draft? Can we get two drafts? Because that, and it, and by the way, you don't get to do that in downtown Kansas City now. It can't be at Union Station. It's got to be over here with us. We need that money. Sales tax, pay for this. Rick says, I'm naive to think it would be 100% Kansas jobs. I didn't say I thought it would be 100% Kansas jobs, Rick. I said if I was a lawmaker, I would demand that it be 100% Kansas jobs. Of course they'd like to find an architect from somewhere else. I don't care what they want. We're paying for 70% of your stadium. You use 100% of Kansas workers.
The cheapest labor they possibly can. Like, that's going to be, you know, the priority of it. But I, again, I don't think that that's... I agree with you, Jacob. I would push for that too, or you know, at least like just, it's got to be first right of refusal, you know, or something like that.
Right. Yep. You ask for the moon here because the Chiefs are asking for the moon from the state of Kansas. So ask for the moon back. You know what I mean? Like there's no, you're giving them a hell of a deal here. You can have plenty of demands. Making sure those jobs stay in the state of Kansas, not the worker jobs or any of that. I don't want to take anybody's job. But the jobs created need to be on this side of the border. They just do. And you'll probably see a lot of companies start up in the state of Kansas real fast over the next couple of years. The Kansas branch of XYZ. 869-1240, you can comment on us. Lots of good video stream comments and discussion. Anthony, one more here, says it'd be a question for legislation I'd have to answer, seeing how it's a sports talk show. I have a good question. Look, always, whenever it's just like Tommy, I can't believe athletes make this much money. Teachers don't make enough. Yep, you're right. But like again, we can walk and chew gum. I never have a good answer to that because the athletes are paid by the Chiefs, not, you know, by some school district somewhere.
The other thing that I want to point out before we go to break is that, yeah, there's a lot of demands being made on the state of Kansas. You better believe that regardless of what kind of counteroffer Missouri can get passed through, there's going to be a lot of demands made on the state of Missouri also. Doesn't mean the Chiefs will, you know, just be like, we don't need everything that we were asking the state of Kansas. I think that we would be foolish to think that it's going to be one of these two options. Because make no mistake about it, these teams will relocate to get whatever they're looking for from somewhere else. They will. They will relocate.
The Chiefs have an opportunity to relocate without relocating.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that...
No, I know what you're saying.
There's no guarantee that if it doesn't happen in Kansas, that it will happen in Missouri.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen with the Chiefs, but it might happen with the Royals. Absolutely. I don't know where the Royals fit into this. I'm as interested in that part of this next discussion in Topeka as anything else. Are they just like blanketly put into this too? Or is this... can they be separated? Because I think you're having two different discussions there. 869-1240. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this. Here's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Kenny Chesney live at Arrowhead in Kansas City. Arrowhead in Kansas City for now. Text the keyword Kenny to the number 20357, one entry per day. Message and data rates apply. Winners will be chosen randomly on June 21st at 6:01 p.m. The Zach Brown Band opening for Kenny Chesney July 6th in Kansas City. Text the word Kenny to the number 20357. Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Castor here. We've spent a lot of time on the stadium, rightfully so. Pretty impactful for us here on this side of that border of Kansas City over on the Kansas side. Tommy, the Royals will be playing in Oakland tonight, and it's an opportunity for them to beat up on some bad competition here over the next little bit. 8:40 first pitch. You'll hear it right here on KFH. Alec Marsh taking the hill, trying to build on some recent momentum. And here we go. This stretch now that begins, Royals gonna have a chance to win a lot of games here over the next 2 weeks.
They're going to have the chances. They've got to take advantage of it. And Alec Marsh, you know, it's a different scenario for him pitching today than it was in the finale of the Yankees series last week. It was a must-win game for the Royals to avoid getting swept by the Yankees, and he pitched a masterful game, probably his best outing of the year to this point. It's a different scenario in today's game, taking on the Athletics. They are not winning games. They are probably equally as cold as the Yankees are hot right now, so it's a totally different scenario, and you're on the road versus pitching at home like he did last week. So he's got to understand that the pressure is not going to be quite there. That lineup, I mean, you look at Oakland's lineup, is not a juggernaut like the Yankees lineup is. And so you've got to adjust for that. And so it's a different kind of mentality going into a day like today. Doesn't lessen the importance of the game at all with them trying to gain some ground on the Guardians. But it was more of a desperate spot last week that Marsh showed up large in. So he's going to have to adjust kind of that mentality going into tonight's game.
And just a reminder, on the flip side of all of this, the Guardians start a series with Seattle. They'll face three good pitchers in that series. They get a series against Toronto. They'll face two good starters in that series. And then Baltimore is Baltimore. So the opportunity is right. I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that when the series in Kansas City starts, a four-game series on June 27th, that the Royals aren't within a couple of games of Cleveland. That's the sort of opportunity staring them at the in the face. Now, Cleveland has to do its part there, and Kansas City certainly does too, but I mean, I think it's right there for them. Whereas you could come out of that series in Kansas City, and you could be in first place in the AL Central, even trailing by five games right now, because what had happened last week has flip-flopped now. And while Kansas City gets schedule relief, Cleveland enters what's probably its most difficult portion of its schedule this year too.
It's going to tell us a lot, I think, about Cleveland, because I mentioned it yesterday. Sure. They've played three or four game sets off and on against tough opponents this season, but this is their first long stretch of games against good teams. Like, they've got nine in a row against really solid teams in Seattle, Baltimore, and Toronto. It's going to be interesting to see exactly how they come out of it.
I think it can get there. I think the Royals are going to do it. I think they're going to get through this point, and we're going to be in good shape here. They're getting healthy. It's all there for you. By the way, again, you can hear it. 8:30 coverage begins. Royals Athletics on KFH. Stay up late with the Royals. They'll keep us up past our bedtimes playing out on the West Coast, but that's okay because we think they're going to be picking up some wins, and that always makes it better. Nothing worse than West Coast baseball, though, when you lose, man. You're like, man, I stayed up for this crap. 869-1240. Put that on your speed dial for tomorrow. We'll come back. We'll tell you what else is on the network today. Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.